Welcome to today's deep dive. We usually spend a lot of time on this show picking apart the absolute bleeding edge of technology, right?
Oh, yeah. Usually it's all about, neural networks or complex algorithmic trading.
Exactly. Or like macro trends and global data privacy.
Yeah.
But today we are doing a very deliberate, calculated mental reset.
A much needed one, I think.
Yeah, we're stripping away all the jargon to answer what seems like a really simple but honestly deeply foundational question, which is, what exactly is a database?
It's one of those questions that actually catches a lot of seasoned professionals totally off guard.
Really? Even people in the industry?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because if you work in tech or data analysis or even just modern business operations, you interact with these systems constantly.
Right, they're just always there.
Exactly. They are basically the invisible plumbing of our daily lives. But because they operate so seamlessly behind the scenes, we rarely actually pause to consider the structural mechanics of how they work.
And to explore this today, we're taking a pretty fascinating route. We aren't looking at some dense theoretical computer science white paper from MIT or anything like that.
Which is probably a relief for you listening right now.
Definitely. Instead, we pulled our source material from a vocational training program on office management. It's specifically from WESCO Cameroon, a school of trade.
Yeah, we have the breakdown of their Module 8, Lesson 1 material.
Right, which is designed to train future data analysts.
And, examining a foundational curriculum like this is actually a brilliant exercise for anyone in the field.
Because it forces you back to the basics.
Exactly. When an instructor has to teach these concepts to students who are, preparing to actually enter the workforce and handle real operational data, they can't rely on abstract theories.
They have to make it real.
They have to strip the concepts down to their absolute functional reality. It exposes the vital mechanics of why this technology actually matters to a business on a practical level.
So, diving into the WESCO Cameroon material, it kicks off with a very deliberate definition. The text defines a database as an organized collection of data stored electronically for efficient access, management, and updating.
Which is a very tight definition.
It is. But on the surface, that might just sound like, I don't know, a digital filing cabinet. But the curriculum goes out of its way to emphasize a critical distinction. It insists that a database is not merely storage.
Right. The operative word there is structured. The module is incredibly specific about this being structured storage, and that distinction is really the entire ballgame.
How so? What's the difference between storage and structured storage?
Well, think about a digital filing cabinet or like a shared corporate cloud drive where employees just dump PDFs and random spreadsheets. That is technically storage.
Yeah, we've all seen those messy shared drives.
Exactly. Functionally, it's a digital junk drawer. You throw things in, you hope you can find them later. But structure implies architecture.
It has rules.
Yes, it implies rigorous constraints. And in the world of data, constraints are actually what create reliability.
To really anchor this concept of structure, the curriculum uses a highly relatable, high-stakes scenario right at the beginning of the lesson. They ask the students to imagine a modern hospital.
And a hospital is arguably the perfect stress test for data architecture.
Because there's so much going on.
Because a medical facility is not just a building, it's a massive, relentless generator of continuous information.
Just think about the data trail of a single patient. The moment you walk through the doors of an emergency room, the data generation begins.
Right, you have the intake information, demographic data, medical history.
And then within an hour, you might have vital signs, diagnostic notes from the attending physician, maybe imaging files from radiology.
Prescription orders from the pharmacy.
Exactly. And eventually, all of that has to flow perfectly into the billing department.
And this is where the WESCO material points out the absolute necessity of structured cohesion. In a hospital, you simply cannot afford to have data scattered across disparate, unconnected silos.
It's not just an inconvenience there.
No, let's look at the mechanical implications of that. If a doctor updates a patient's chart to indicate a severe, life-threatening allergy to a specific antibiotic,
That information cannot just live on the doctor's local tablet.
precisely. When a nurse in a completely different wing pulls that patient's chart 3 minutes later to administer medication, the system must reflect that update instantly. It requires a single source of truth.
Because in that setting, we aren't just talking about a lost invoice or a misspelled name. We are talking about life or death consequences. The pharmacy system, the ER system, the billing system, they all must be querying the exact same underlying architecture.
This really perfectly illustrates the power of normalization.
Normalization.
Yeah, it's a core concept in database design that the curriculum is steering these students toward. In a structured relational database, you avoid data anomalies.
So you don't have multiple versions of the truth.
Right. You do not store the patient's allergy information in 15 different places where one file could easily fall out of sync with the others.
That makes a lot of sense. You store it in one precise location.
And every other system references that single point. The structure prevents the chaos of conflicting information.
To make this architecture a bit more understandable, the course introduces a classic metaphor. They compare the database to a massive library.
Which is a great visual.
It is. They say the individual books represent the individual records, like a single patient visit or a single retail purchase. The shelves represent the tables.
And the overarching classification system itself represents the database software.
Exactly. As a pedagogical tool for beginners, mapping books to records and shelves to tables is really effective.
It is. But for an audience familiar with data operations, let's unpack what that metaphor actually represents technically.
Yeah, let's go a bit deeper on that.
When the curriculum talks about assigning books to specific shelves, what they're actually teaching is the concept of enforcing a schema.
A schema being the rules of the table.
Right. In a database, a table designed to hold numerical financial data will outright reject a text-based entry. The shelf dictates the exact parameters of the object it holds.
You can't put a magazine on a shelf designed only for dictionaries.
Exactly. And that overarching classification system, the Dewey Decimal System of our metaphor, is essentially the indexing structure.
Which is how you find things quickly.
That is the critical component for efficiency. Because if you walk into a massive, unorganized warehouse of books without a catalog, you literally have to read every single spine until you find the one you need.
Which would take forever.
In computer science, we call that a full table scan. It is computationally exhausting and incredibly slow.
So the index fixes that.
The classification system, or the index, operates like a highly optimized map. It allows the database engine to instantly bypass millions of irrelevant records and point directly to the exact memory location of the data you requested.
This brings us to a really crucial friction point. When we talk about organizing data into tables, with columns defining the data type like date of birth or transaction amount, and rows representing the individual records, it sounds identical to an everyday Excel spreadsheet.
Oh, the visual similarity is undeniable, and it's a very natural comparison for students to make.
The Wesco text explicitly notes this similarity, actually.
But they also point out that mechanically, a database and a spreadsheet are entirely different species of technology. The curriculum highlights the massive differentiator here, which is scale.
Scale is everything. I think anyone who has worked in a mid-sized business has a horror story about a spreadsheet being pushed way beyond its limit.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The dreaded master spreadsheet.
I remember consulting for a logistics firm years ago. They were running a massive portion of their rebate routing off a single monolithic Excel file they called the tracker.
I can already guess how this ends.
It had hundreds of thousands of rows, countless complex macros, color-coded statuses. Every afternoon, when the operations manager tried to run a simple sort function, the entire file would freeze for 20 minutes.
Just completely lock up the machine.
The whole department just held their breath, praying the file wouldn't corrupt.
That anxiety is exactly what a database is engineered to eliminate. A spreadsheet application loads its data into the local memory of the computer running it.
So it's tied to that specific hardware's limit.
Exactly. When you hit a million rows or execute a heavy calculation, the application's architecture simply crumbles under the weight. A database, conversely, is designed from the ground up to hold millions or even billions of records securely on a server.
And it only sends you what you ask for.
Right. It passes only the specific answers you query back to your screen. It doesn't try to load the entire universe of data at once.
The other glaring issue with the tracker spreadsheet was simultaneous access. If two dispatchers tried to edit a delivery status at the exact same moment, the file would lock, or worse, it would create a conflicting copy.
The dreaded conflicted copy file name.
Exactly.
And this is where databases prove their absolute worth in modern infrastructure. They handle concurrency through highly sophisticated locking mechanisms at the row level, rather than locking the entire file.
Can you give an example of how that works in practice?
Sure. Think about e-commerce. If a retail business is having a massive online sale, you might have 10,000 customers trying to purchase items simultaneously.
Right.
The database's transactional integrity ensures that if two customers try to put the very last pair of shoes in their digital cart at the exact same millisecond, Only one transaction is processed.
And the other one?
The other is elegantly denied. A spreadsheet simply cannot manage that kind of simultaneous traffic collision. It would just corrupt.
That perfectly sets up the third major segment of the WESCO Cameroon module, which focuses on the high stakes of this structure for massive organizations. The text makes a remarkably bold claim. It says, modern organizations simply cannot function without databases.
And when you zoom out and look at the global infrastructure of commerce and governance, that isn't hyperbole. It's just a stark statement of fact.
The entire modern world is built on top of these structured relational systems.
100%.
The course material grounds this with some really specific industry examples. Let's look at the financial sector. Banks use databases to track every single transaction.
Right. Every time you swipe a debit card, transfer funds between accounts, or check your balance on an app, you are initiating a query to a database.
It's all just queries under the hood.
The banking example perfectly illustrates the critical need for what we call ACID properties, atomicity, consistency, isolation, and durability.
That sounds intense. How does that play out in a transaction?
Let's say you are transferring $1,000 to a vendor. The database has to deduct those funds from your account and credit them to the vendor's account.
Okay, simple enough.
But if the bank server crashes in the exact split second between deducting your money and crediting the vendor, a structured database ensures that the entire transaction rolls back.
So the money doesn't just vanish.
Exactly. It never leaves your money lost in a digital void. The transaction is atomic. It either completes entirely or it fails entirely. There was no in-between state.
The text also points to telecom companies, which use databases to track customer usage. That requires logging billions of microtransactions.
Every single text message.
Every minute of a phone call, every megabyte of cellular data. And it has to tie it all back to a specific user account for accurate billing.
And retail stores rely on them to manage complex global supply chains and real-time inventory.
And of course, governments depend on massive database architectures to manage vital civic information, everything from census figures and tax records to passport issuance.
The civic infrastructure aspect is staggering when you consider the sheer volume and the necessary security protocols.
It has to be incredibly secure.
Managing the civic data of hundreds of millions of citizens requires an architecture that is simultaneously highly accessible to authorized agencies and completely fortified against unauthorized breaches.
Now, this raises a really interesting question about the focus of the WESCO Cameroon curriculum itself. These students are training to be data analysts.
Right.
In a world flooded with sleek visualization tools like Tableau or Power BI, why does this specific module spend so much time drilling into the foundational structure of data storage? Why not just teach them the visualization tools?
Because software interfaces change constantly. The dashboard tool that is an industry standard today might be totally obsolete in 5 years.
That's a great point. The tools always evolve.
But the underlying relational algebra, the core principles of how data is structured, linked, and queried, that remains a constant. It doesn't change.
The text actually outlines some pretty dire consequences for analysts who attempt to bypass this foundational knowledge. It warns that without a deep understanding of structure, data extraction becomes incredibly difficult.
This is a scenario that plays out in corporate environments every single day.
Mm.
An analyst is tasked with generating a massive revenue report.
Okay.
They use a sleek tool to pull the data, generate a beautiful visualization, and they proudly present it to the executive board. But because they did not fundamentally understand the underlying schema of the database,
they made a mistake in how they pulled the data.
Exactly. Perhaps they executed a flawed table join and accidentally duplicated every sale that included a shipping fee. So now their revenue numbers are inflated by 30%.
Wow. That is a career-ending mistake.
It is the ultimate failure the course warns about unreliable reports. An analyst's entire value proposition to an organization is their ability to provide accurate, actionable insights.
If your foundation is flawed, the insights aren't just useless, they're actively dangerous to the business's decision-making process.
Garbage in, garbage out. It's the oldest rule in computer science.
So we've established that a database is crucial. It is structured, it is scalable, and it is the absolute bedrock of organizational integrity.
Yes.
But the WESCO material introduces one final critical concept to bridge the gap between the static storage of data and the dynamic needs of the user. Because a database sitting on a server is essentially inert, right?
The data does not manage itself. It needs an engine.
And this brings the students to the concept of the DBMS, the database management system.
If the database is the structured library, from our earlier metaphor, the DBMS is the highly trained staff of librarians and the automated sorting machinery that actually makes the library functional.
The course defines the DBMS as the active software tool that allows users to interact with the database. It provides a very specific set of verbs for what the DBMS accomplishes.
It allows users to create, define, insert, retrieve, update, and secure the data.
Those verbs really represent the entire life cycle of data management, don't they?
They do. Create and define are the architectural phases where you build the tables and enforce the rules of your schema.
And then the day-to-day stuff.
Insert, retrieve, and update are the daily operational tasks. What we often refer to in the industry as CRUD operations, create, read, update, delete.
And the last one is secure.
Yes, secure is that vital layer of encryption and access control. It's what ensures a hospital administrator can view billing data, but they absolutely cannot alter a doctor's clinical diagnosis.
What I find particularly interesting is that the curriculum doesn't just speak in theoretical terms here. It introduces the specific DBMS that the students will utilize for their hands-on training, which is MySQL.
Choosing MySQL for a vocational training program is an incredibly pragmatic and insightful decision by the school.
Why is that significant for you listening right now? Why should someone outside of a computer science program care about MySQL?
Because MySQL is essentially the workhorse of the modern internet. The text highlights that it's a widely used relational database management system deployed by startups, sprawling enterprises, government agencies, and global technology titans.
So it's everywhere.
Everywhere. By training these students on MySQL, Wesco Cameroon is not just giving them a theoretical sandbox to play in, they are equipping them with a universal language.
It bridges the gap between the classroom and the real world immediately. The SQL language structured query language is the lingua franca of data.
Whether you are analyzing logistics in Cameroon or evaluating user metrics at a tech giant in Silicon Valley, understanding how to query a relational database is a highly transferable, immensely valuable skill.
It really drives home a profound point that the course makes about the reality of an analyst's career. It notes that in any professional setting, whenever an analyst is assigned a task, whether that's forecasting quarterly sales or analyzing consumer churn rates, the very first step always begins with one. How's the data stored?
That is the dividing line between an amateur and a professional. You cannot analyze a trend if you do not understand the architecture of where the raw figures live.
You can't track customer behavior if you don't understand how the customer profile tables relate to the transaction history tables.
And the answer to that question, as the text reminds the students, is almost invariably inside a database.
This entire deep dive really reframes how we look at the information surrounding us. The central thesis of this Wesco Cameroon module is that structure precedes analysis.
You have to build the house before you can decorate it.
Exactly. A database represents the structured, organized, efficient, and secure management of digital information. It is the vital difference between a chaotic, localized digital junk drawer and a streamlined, scalable engine capable of securely processing billions of operational records.
It is the invisible structural memory that prevents the massive complexity of the modern information age from basically collapsing under its own weight.
Without it, global supply chains, financial markets, and healthcare networks would grind to a complete halt within hours.
Minutes, probably.
Now, because our source material today stems from a vocational training program, I'm going to pass the course's practical homework directly over to you. At the conclusion of the module, Wesco assigns the students a non-graded reflection task to prepare them for their upcoming lab work.
I think it's a fantastic exercise for anyone looking to solidify their understanding of the systems around them.
It really is. Your task is twofold. First, take a moment today to define what a database is in your own words. Don't rely on the technical jargon. Explain the concept of structured storage as if you were breaking it down for a colleague over coffee.
Keep it simple and practical.
Second, try to identify three specific real-world systems you interact with regularly that absolutely must rely on a database to function. Look at the applications on your phone, the logistical systems you rely on for deliveries, or the administrative services you use. Look for that invisible structure hiding in plain sight.
It's a great way to force yourself to look past the user interface and recognize the architecture underneath. And as you reflect on those massive systems, the global banking networks, the healthcare portals, the government agency is managing millions of our records. I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over.
Let's hear it.
We have spent this time establishing that databases are the flawless, highly structured memory of our modern institutions. They securely and permanently hold the data points of our lives, from our most private medical histories to our daily geographic movements and financial transactions.
They hold everything.
Right. So if our society relies on this architecture, what does it mean for our concept of personal identity when the totality of our lives is ultimately translated into a series of structured rows and columns, existing in complex relational systems that we can neither see nor fully control?
Wow. That is a fascinating and definitely somewhat heavy thought to consider the next time you casually swipe a card or fill out a digital form.
It changes your perspective, doesn't it?
It really does. Thank you for joining us on this exploration of the foundations of data. We hope you walk away today with a sharper perspective on the hidden architecture that powers the modern world. Keep questioning the systems around you, keep looking for the underlying structure, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.